Hong Kong Diploma of Secondary Education, English Language Practice Paper 3, Integrated Listening, Reading and Writing. Instructions to candidates. You should have on your desk a Part A question answer book, a Part B1 data file with a Part B1 question answer book inserted, and a Part B2 data file with a Part B2 question answer book inserted. Do not open them until you are told to do so. I repeat, do not open the question answer books or the data files until you are told to do so. Now, write your candidate number in the space provided on page 1 of your Part A question answer book. Now, look at the Part A question answer book. Check that the Part A question answer book has no missing pages. Look for the words "end of Part A" on the last page. Now, stick your barcode labels in the spaces provided on pages 1 and 3. Close your Part A question answer book when you have finished. Now look at your Part B1 data file. Take out the inserted Part B1 question answer book. Check that your Part B1 data file has no missing pages. Look for the words "this is the last page of the Part B1 data file" on the last page. Now look at your Part B1 question answer book. Check that the Part B1 question answer book has no missing pages. Look for the words "end of Part B1 on the last page. Now stick your barcode label in the space provided on page 1. Close the Part B1 question answer book when you have finished. Now, look at your Part B2 data file. Take out the inserted Part B2 question answer book. Check that the Part B2 data file has no missing pages. Look for the words "this is the last page of the Part B2 data file" on the last page. Now look at your Part B2 question answer book. Check that the Part B2 question answer book has no missing pages. Look for the words "end of Part B2 on the last page. Now stick your barcode labels in the spaces provided on pages 1 and 3. Close the Part B2 question answer book when you have finished. You are reminded that all examination materials will be played once only. The test is divided into two parts, Part A and Part B. You should use a pencil to answer all questions in Part A. For Part B, you can use a pen or a pencil. Put up your hand now if you have any difficulties. It is not possible to handle complaints after you have taken the test. The test is about to begin. Keep your earphones on until you are told to take them off. Part A. Situation. You are Sam, a Secondary 6 student at Regent College. You are a member of a group of four classmates, you, Aaron, George and Lucy, who are doing a school project on weight problems in children in Hong Kong. In Part A, you will have a total of four tasks to do. Follow the instructions in the question answer book and in the recording to complete the tasks. You will find all the information you need in the question answer book and the recording. You now have 2 minutes to familiarise yourself with tasks 1 to 4. Task 1 is about to begin. Task 1. You and one of the group members, Aaron, are discussing your plans for the project. Listen to the conversation and fill in the information sheet below. Two have been done for you as examples. You now have 30 seconds to study the note headings. At the end of the task, you will have 1 minute to tidy up your answers.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Sam. How's it going?
Yeah, okay, thanks. I was thinking we should maybe start, you know, thinking about things about this project. I mean, like what our time limit is, how we're going to share the work.
Or what resources we can use.
Exactly. Hold on. I'll take some notes so we can show George and Lucy later on.
Fine.
We need to have an action plan to present to Mr. Johnson next week.
Yeah. So today is the 23rd of January, and we're meeting Mr. Johnson next... when? Monday. That's, the 30th of January.
Yeah, Monday, the 30th, I think it is.
The deadline for the project's the 10th of February, so we've got 3 weeks to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot there's a lot to do before the 10th. I don't know. I think we should start with the information collection.
The what?
You know, the information collection. Collecting all the information and stuff for the introduction, the background.
What? From the internet or...
Yeah, I think the internet's the obvious place to start. You could just do a Google search. Mind you, we'd have to limit ourselves a bit. There's just going to be too much stuff.
Yeah, true. It's meant to be on Hong Kong. There'll be enough if we just search Hong Kong websites, I'm sure.
Okay, so how long do you think we should spend on that? On Hong Kong websites?
Maybe a day? Maybe a bit longer?
Yeah, okay. Let's say a day and a half. I'll note that down. I can do that.
Good.
Right. The other thing we should be doing is going to the library.
Yeah.
How about we go together to the school library sometime next week?
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
How about next Tuesday after school?
Oh, I can't next Tuesday. I've got that choir practice.
Oh.
Yeah, well, but you could maybe take George, or Lucy maybe.
Yeah, what I was thinking was, you know how George lives really near the Central Library?
Yeah.
Well, he could go there to Central Library at the weekend. No problem. And that would take him, 4 hours or something like that?
Yeah, good idea. We can put down 4 hours for George in the Central Library. But what's that got to do with the school library?
Well, George would be the best person to come with me because he'd know what he's found at the Central Library already.
Oh, okay. What? Instead of me?
Yeah, exactly. Instead of you on Tuesday. Then you can go to your choir practice. I'll let George know. There isn't much in there, so I'll write 2 hours in the plan then. Fine. Is that it then?
Nah, we're going to need more than that.
Like what?
Well, I was thinking, isn't Lucy's father a doctor?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, she could interview him. Her father, I mean. Couldn't she?
Yeah, I suppose she could. That's really a good idea, actually.
Yeah, I know.
That's much better than just the usual stuff off the internet. It could be really interesting to hear what Lucy's father says.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right, let me write it down before we forget.
Oh, you'd better write Dr. Lam in the action plan. It would look a bit strange to write Lucy's father.
Yeah, it would a bit. How do you spell that? L-A-M?
Yeah.
Should only take her half an hour.
Yeah, not too long.
Mm.
Right. So is that us done?
No, we've still to decide who does what. I mean, the writing. Who's going to write what?
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe I can write the introduction and background. I mean, I'll have done all the collecting of the information and stuff by then, so...
Okay, but you can't just choose the easiest bit yourself.
What?
I mean, the results section. That's much more work and I can't finish it on my own.
Okay, okay. Right, well, we can do the results part together, if you like. You and me. Okay?
Yeah, okay. But what about George and Lucy? I mean...
Well, we can get them to do the conclusions and recommendations. That should keep them busy.
Fine.
I think we should put here, in the action plan, how long to give us to do the write-up.
Let's put 10 days.
Okay. Right. Well, that looks like an action plan.
Yep.
That is the end of task 1. You now have 1 minute to tidy up your answers. Task 2. As part of your research into weight problems in children in Hong Kong, you have found a podcast that you think will provide you with useful information. Now you will play the podcast to your group members. Listen and complete the note sheet below. One has been done for you as an example. You now have 30 seconds to study the note sheet. At the end of the task, you will have 1.5 minutes to tidy up your answers.
Hi guys, how's the research going?
Oh, okay. How about you?
Well, I found this really good podcast on the government website.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good. It's all about obesity and children in Hong Kong.
Great. Can we listen to it now? To hear what it says?
Yeah, I've only listened to it once. I haven't taken any notes off it, so we could jot down the main points as we listen.
Yeah, okay.
Right. No, hold on. Just a second. Right. That's it. Here we go.
Good morning, everyone. My guest today is Dr. Laszlo Benko, a specialist in children's health. He's here today to talk about child obesity in Hong Kong. Good morning, Dr. Benko.
Good morning.
Dr. Benko, perhaps you can start by telling us what obesity actually is.
Sure. Well, it's always good to start with a definition in any discussion. And with obesity, it's particularly important as there are so many definitions of obesity out there. Right, so the correct definition of obesity is that obesity occurs when the body stores too much fat. Now you may ask just how much fat is too much.
Sorry for stopping it. I missed the definition. Did anybody else get it?
Yeah, it said obesity is when the body stores too much fat.
Okay, got it. Right. I'll start it again. Hold on. I'll put it back a bit.
Now you may ask, just how much fat is too much? Well, this is different for boys and for girls, as their bodies, as you no doubt realise, are different. The figures we generally use are different for boys and girls when we're deciding if they're obese or not. For boys, if more than 25% of their body is made up of fat, then they are considered to be obese. The figure for girls is higher, at 32%. So boys are obese if more than a quarter of their body is fat, and for girls, it's nearly a third.
Okay, interesting. Now, I read the other day that top athletes can have as little as 5% body fat. But what I want to know is, how do we know how much fat we have in our body? How can we measure it?
Well, the most commonly used measure of whether someone's obese or not is known as the BMI, or the Body Mass Index. BMI is a measure which uses a person's weight and height to calculate if that person is obese. What this means is that everyone has a BMI.
Maybe you'll have to explain what that means to the listeners.
Okay. Generally speaking, healthy people should have a BMI of between 18.5 and 24.9. Anything over that is considered overweight. and over 30 is obese. But these figures are now being debated. As I say, the BMI figure normally given for someone being obese is 30. But scientists at Hong Kong Metropolitan University want to change that to 28.5 for people in Hong Kong.
Okay, but hasn't the BMI been criticised recently?
Well, yes. There are several criticisms of the BMI. To begin with, it's simply an outdated way of measuring obesity. It was invented in the 1830s. I mean, that's 180 years ago. There are more modern scientific methods we can use. Another criticism of the BMI is that the BMI figure for obesity should be different for different countries. I mean, people in one country may be generally smaller than in another country. Japan or Hong Kong, for example. Hence, the lower figure for obesity for Hong Kong suggested by the Hong Kong Metropolitan University.
Oh, okay, right, so now we know something about how we can determine if someone is suffering from obesity. The next thing is, how does obesity affect us and our health?
Well, there are four common effects of obesity. The first is high blood pressure. The body has to work a lot harder, and so the blood pressure goes up. The second also involves the blood, as we find that people with obesity have high cholesterol and...
Yes, there's a lot more public awareness about levels of cholesterol these days.
Yes. The other two are more related to how people feel about themselves if they're obese. The first of these is that they can suffer from low self-esteem, and that can often lead to depression.
The last one, that obesity leads to depression, certainly reflects my own experience growing up. I'm sure we all remember how the overweight kids at school were laughed at by their classmates. It is very easy to imagine how these cases lead to problems of low self-esteem and depression.
Yes, in many ways it's these mental problems that are the most serious.
So how big a problem is obesity for school children in Hong Kong?
Research has shown there's a greater chance that obesity in childhood will last a lifetime and be a problem in later life. So it's very important that we deal with it at an early age before it becomes a lifelong problem. You know, the Department of Health releases figures to show the trends for this type of thing over the years. And they say, well, their figures show that obesity among primary school students rose from 16.4% in 1998 to 21.3% in 2008. And it's projected that by 2013, one in four school children will be obese.
Okay, I'll stop it there. I need to go. Do you think it's useful?
Definitely. We can use the notes you've made in our write-up.
That is the end of task two. You now have 1.5 minutes to tidy up your answers. Task 3. Your group mate Aaron has found some information which may be useful to the project, and he is now telling you about this. Complete the flowchart below while Aaron explains. You now have 30 seconds to study the flowchart. At the end of the task, you will have 1 minute to tidy up your answers.
Hey, I was going to say, when I was doing that research for the project, I found this really good guide.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was published by the hospital authority or somebody. It's a guide for the clinical management of weight in children.
Right, so...
What it is like a practical summary for doctors. Basically, it's a guide and basically consists of 6 steps. Sort of covering the whole medical process.
For what?
For doctors dealing with obesity in children.
Oh, okay.
Look, maybe what we could do to make it easier is to do it, but as a flowchart.
All right, then let's do it now, hey? You explain, you take me through the steps, the different steps, and I'll do my best to draw the chart now.
Right, okay. Where to start? Right, the first step. The first step is to assess how overweight the child is when compared to other children of the same age.
Okay, so it's like a measure of how overweight a child is.
Right.
Okay.
So, for a child with normal weight, he can get healthy eating and exercise advice, and that's it. Finished. But an overweight child... He goes on to step two.
Step two.
Yeah. Now, step two is to examine the weight history of the child and his or her immediate family. Actually, it's examining the weight history plus the medical history as well.
Okay, so let me make sure I've got this right. Have a look at my chart so far.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Now, on the right-hand side of the chart... We have what happens to children who are normal weight.
Yep.
And on the left, the overweight kids. Now, they are the ones, I'm imagining, who follow steps 2 to 6.
Yeah, but you haven't finished what you were writing for step 2.
I know. So, step 2, weight history and...
Medical history.
Oh, yeah, medical history. Of the child and the immediate family.
Okay. Next is step 3. Assess eating and exercise habits of the child and parents.
Oh, so eating and exercise habits of parents. Again, parents. Interesting. But in this case, not other family members?
I guess the assumption is that parents influence what children eat. And the amount of exercise they do, and brothers and sisters don't. Or at least much less.
Right. Step 4.
Then step 4 is devise treatment strategies.
Sounds very vague.
What?
I mean, like, treatment strategies sounds good, but do they actually provide concrete examples of treatment strategies?
Oh, no, they do. They give 3. Basically, treatment strategies are things like, say, the child has to reduce his energy intake, as well as modify eating and activity behaviour.
And the third one?
The third strategy is to involve the family in the process.
Yeah, I've been reading about this as well. And they all say that a child's living habits, you know, what he does and his attitudes to stuff like diet and exercise, is really affected by his family. So involving the family is important.
Right. So then we go on to step five. Okay, step five, a reassessment of the extent to which the child is overweight.
That's too much to write.
Well, just write reassess situation.
Reassess situation. Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, there are two outcomes from the reassessment. Pass or fail. Either the child's been successful or he hasn't. If the reassessment outcome is unsuccessful, the child will have to go back to step three and go through the whole thing, the whole process, again.
What do they mean by being unsuccessful?
Well, not reducing their obesity level, I suppose.
Ah, right. And if he's successful?
Well, if his reassessment outcome is successful, I mean, if he achieves weight loss or behaviour change, he'll then go on to the last step, step six.
Let me guess, step six is regular monitoring.
Wow, you're on the ball today. Yep, regular monitoring, but also weight loss maintenance. That's the other thing. And after step six, the child will be given healthy eating advice and advice on exercise, same as those normal weight children.
That's the chart. What do you reckon? Good, hey?
Yeah, you've done a good job there.
That is the end of task three. You now have 1 minute to tidy up your answers. Task 4. Your group has completed its research and you are presenting your findings to your classmates. Listen to the end of your presentation and the question and answer session. Complete the information below as you listen. You now have 1 minute to study the information. At the end of the task, you will have 2 minutes to tidy up your answers.
So, I'd like to hand you over to Lucy now, who's going to go through our recommendations.
Thank you, Sam. Right, so our recommendations. Sam's spoken about the problems suffered by children who are either overweight or obese. There are a number of things that we think we can do to help these children. I mean, it's all very well advocating a healthy diet and more exercise. These are expected, and schools should be promoting these anyway. What we would like to see is a program of visits to schools by medical experts. In this way, I mean, with these types of visits, the weight problems of children can be carefully monitored. We also want to see government put pressure on the media to cut the amount of advertising of the kinds of food that is causing children to put on weight. So, no more advertising of burgers and pizzas on YouTube, please. Right, I'll hand you over to Aaron to introduce one more recommendation.
Right, okay, yes. Our last recommendation is that we need to deal with the self-esteem issues that obese students have. It goes without saying that teachers should ensure that such students aren't abused and called names by their classmates. I mean, we don't need to recommend that. Teachers should be doing that already. But we want to go a step further. What we would like to see is overweight children given the chance to be, prefects, given leading roles in the school production, a place in the athletics team, that sort of thing.
Thanks, Aaron. Okay, that's all we have to say. Thank you for listening. Now, are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. It seems obvious to me that if people don't want to get too fat, they should eat less, pure and simple. I mean, if somebody's like fat already and they don't eat less and they're too lazy to exercise, they end up getting fatter and fatter, and they're miserable. I mean, it's up to them. It's their own fault, isn't it?
Thank you for your question. I think if you have been listening to our presentation, you understand that it's not always the child's fault. I mean, they are often overweight and it's the fault of the parents. Or maybe of other influences around them encouraging them to eat a poor diet. Any other questions? Yes?
Who, me? Okay, yeah, thanks. To tell you the truth, I was a bit disappointed with your presentation. When I saw the title of your talk, I thought, yeah, this could be quite interesting. But unless I missed something as I drifted off, you didn't actually say anything new in the end. We've heard it all before. You have my sympathy if you weren't given a choice and were told by Mr. Johnson to do this topic, because I'd imagine there is nothing new you can say about children with weight problems. I mean, you've probably done a better job than I could have with the same topic, but I just found it all a bit dull. I don't know.
Right. Okay. Not sure if I know how to answer that one, actually.
Okay, maybe we could just move on. Does anyone else have a question or a comment?
Thanks. I'd like to thank the group for an excellent presentation, but I do have one concern. What you were saying about prefects and all that, I think all students should be rewarded for making the most of their natural abilities. Personally, I wouldn't make a student a prefect just because they were overweight or obese or whatever. To me, that would be rewarding students for being overweight. It's not fair. It would mean like I was being patronised. I mean, you'd know that you only got the position to make you feel better.
If I could answer this one, Lucy, maybe I wasn't too clear on this point. I'm not saying that we should reward children for being overweight. What I'm saying is that we should provide them with the power to succeed. The measures that we have recommended should empower these students so that they can achieve whatever they want in life, including good health.
Okay, maybe we can have one more question or comment. Yes?
Yeah, thank you. Isn't it a problem that many of the children that suffer from obesity come from poor families? After all, a hamburger and fries is a lot cheaper than a meal in a traditional restaurant. What can we do to help these children from poor families?
Thanks for your question. Yeah, well, It is a real issue, isn't it? I think, really, the important thing is that, that children... I mean, it's okay for children to eat fast food, but so long as it's only occasionally. And, you know, it's not expensive to eat well, is it? You can buy fresh fruit and vegetables from the market or supermarket quite cheaply. And, you know, fresh fish or tofu you can get cheaply. I think it's just a matter of parents monitoring what their children eat and limiting their intake of unhealthy food.
Right. Well, that's it. Thank you all for coming.
That is the end of task 4. You now have 2 minutes to complete your answers to task 4 and to tidy up all your other answers. Part B. Situation. You are Pat Lee. You work in the Campus Services Department at Hong Kong Metropolitan University. You are an assistant to Donnie Kwok, the manager in charge of all the different restaurants on the campus. You will listen to a recording of part of a meeting of the Campus Services Committee where they discuss some issues regarding food and drink on the campus. Before the recording is played, you will have 5 minutes to study the question-answer book and the data file for part B1, and the question-answer book and the data file for part B2. Remember, you must choose to do the tasks in either part B1 or part B2. Do not attempt both parts B1 and B2. Complete the tasks by following the instructions in the question-answer book you choose, and on the recording. You will find all the information you need in the question answer book and data file that you choose and on the recording. As you listen, you can make notes on page 3 of the data file. You will have 5 minutes to familiarize yourself with the Part B question answer book and the data file. The recording is about to begin. Turn to page 3 of the data file you have chosen.
OK, everyone. Now we come to item 3 on the agenda, the campus food and drink. I think we have a lot to discuss here. Donny, would you update us?
Yeah. As you might know, we've been having a few problems lately.
What kind of problems?
Well, to start with, there have been complaints about the food and the service in some of our canteens and restaurants.
Were these general complaints or something more specific about one incident?
Right. We received a complaint letter from a student, Gracie Ma. You have a copy of the letter in your file. I've since been in touch with her and got some more details. She said that it happened on January the 3rd. She became ill after eating a smoked salmon sandwich in the coffee shop. She's blaming the food in the coffee shop.
But people get ill for all sorts of reasons.
True, but the doctor at the university clinic said it was food poisoning.
Food poisoning? That's serious. So, how do they think she got food poisoning?
Well, seemingly the likely cause is the smoked salmon she had in her sandwich. You know, salmon can be a real problem. I mean, if it's not kept properly, it can easily go bad.
Yeah, so have you carried out any follow-up action? Have you checked the coffee shop?
Yes, we carried out an inspection of the coffee shop on Monday, the 9th of January, and...
You mean yesterday?
Oh, yeah, sorry. We carried out an inspection of the coffee shop yesterday, the 9th of January, and we found that the ingredients for the sandwiches, like the smoked salmon, the meat, tomatoes, lettuce, that kind of thing, were kept for long periods of time out of the fridge. So basically, as they'd been leaving all the food out of the fridge for so long, it wasn't fresh and had gone off.
That's awful, though I'm not surprised.
Yes. Another thing was that there were insects.
Where? In the coffee shop?
Yes. We found evidence of cockroaches.
Ugh! Cockroaches? I won't be eating there again, I can tell you.
I know. Disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Hmm. Was there anything else?
Yeah. The staff making the sandwiches didn't wear plastic disposable gloves. I mean, like they're supposed to. You know, those plastic gloves you see people in sandwich places wearing when they're preparing food.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't wearing them.
Well, we need to address all of these issues, obviously. Any ideas about what can be done?
You're right. We obviously need to do something.
Yeah, well, I've been in touch with the manager, Oliver Rogers, about all of this, and I'll be informing him of the results of our inspection and telling him that improvements need to be made.
And what else can we do if he doesn't make these improvements? If things don't get better?
If these improvements aren't made, I suggest we tell him we will not renew his contract.
Oliver Rogers, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Well, that seems to be clear then. If the coffee shop doesn't improve, we won't be renewing Oliver Rogers' contract. Can you inform Oliver Rogers about our feelings, Donnie?
Yes. We can send him an email today.
OK, good. Let's see how it goes then. OK, let's move on to the next item on the agenda, the Eat Yourself Fitter Week. How's the preparation coming along?
Right, well, myself and Pat attended the Eat Yourself Fitter Week organising committee meeting last week, and dates have now been fixed. Hold on. I've just got them here. Yeah, it's running from March the 5th to March 10th.
Really? So relatively soon then?
Yeah. Well, the committee also discussed the events and things that'll happen through the week. The first thing was the issue of setting up stalls on campus, and I was given the task of coming up with some ideas. What I thought of was to set up some stalls on campus with different kinds of food.
Sounds good. But what do you mean? Cooked food or...
Yeah, cooked food, but that's cooked healthily.
Right.
And the name we've come up with is Healthy Hawker Stalls.
I like it. Healthy Hawker Stalls. It's quite catchy.
Yes. Oh, the next thing discussed was to hold a lecture, especially for the Eat Yourself Fitter Week.
Okay.
We asked Antonia Zatcher if she would like to give the lecture.
Who?
You know, Antonia Zadcha, the owner of the new restaurant on campus?
No, you've lost me.
Antonia Zadcha? Z-A-C-H-A. She's opening the new restaurant at the university.
Oh, sorry, I know. Antonia Zadcha, the chef. Right. So, is she going to do a lecture then?
Yes. She was actually really keen. She's actually keen to help in any way she can in the Eat Yourself Fitter Week.
Well, let's try to get her involved. When's her lecture on again?
OK, we've booked the room already. Just let me find it. Thursday, March the 8th, at 1 p.m. And she'll be talking in lecture room 14B. Now, the title of her lecture is Eating on a Budget.
Right. Let me make a quick note of that. Antonia Zadcha, Eating on a Budget, Thursday the 8th at 1 o'clock.
Oh, and we've got a slogan.
A what?
You know, a slogan. A sentence to put on the poster for the Eat Yourself Fitter Week.
Oh, okay. A slogan.
We thought of it the other day, to encourage students to eat better. How did it go again? It was down with salt, sugar and fat.
I like it.
What was it again?
Down with salt, sugar and fat.
Yeah, good.
Great. Right, we'll get that on the banner as well. Okay, well, you've certainly been busy there. Maybe you can give us a further update on progress in the next meeting.
That is the end of the listening component of this test. You will have 1 hour and 15 minutes to complete the writing tasks in either Part B1 or Part B2. An announcement will be made when time is up. Take off your earphones now and turn off the radio.